You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
This is Omar Ahmed for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. I'm at the headquarters of Frank Warren. We're going to do something slightly different today, Frank. For once, I'm not going to be asking the questions. They're going to be directly from the fans.
Ah, right, good.
So yeah, just a bit of a different one today. The first one is actually from one of your fighters, a bit of a light-hearted question. It's from Troy Williamson. Who's Frank's best 154-pound fighter?
Blimey, cheeky son. I love you all.
It's a great little division.
That it's lovely. I mean, and they're good fighters. They're all good fighters. I mean, Troy's, he's exciting son, and he can, I mean, he's got that great punch of his. So, and he's a nice fella. So, Troy, we love you dearly. But go and win that British title, and then we can make an in-house big fight between you and Hamza.
Okay, next question is from 26 Payne. How has Frank adapted when his company has moved from Sky to Box Nation and now BT? How did he find leaving Sky and then setting up Box Nation? At any point did he think it wasn't going to work through the lack of channel exposure in terms of Box Nation? And also, he adds on, did he seek BT or vice versa? So a lot there. So let's talk about the transition from kind of Sky to Box Nation to BT.
Right, well, what happened was that, I think, you know, we talked about this in the past, I left Sky basically a year before my contract was over. And the reason I left with then is because the state of mind of the then head of sport, Barney Francis, was that, you know, he was cutting back on boxing. And I think there were about three or four of us as promoters at the time had deals. And the deal he was proposing for the following years that we got eight dates each. Hmm. And he was going to pay us 100 grand a show. So he was getting 800 grand. So that made my decision for me. And I thought, if that's where they were. And they based that decision off of some pay-per-view shows that they did that they had some problems with, if you remember. They had some problems with the shows, and they sort of basically fell out of love, and they were obviously having to pay a lot of money for the Premiership football back then. And I decided to do my own thing. I thought, I'm not going to make any money, and I'd be lucky to survive on 800 grand a year total rights fees to run a boxing business and build fighters. So we went off and thought, let's go and go doing our own thing, and that's what had Box Nation come into being.
And then also, setting up Box Nation, did you think it was a big risk through the lack of exposure?
It was a massive, well, we started day one with no subscribers. I mean, it wasn't like you're taking over a business. I mean, it was day one, nothing. But we built it up into a position where I think it was, sort of breakthrough fight for us was when we did the Klitschko and Chisora fight, which done okay. And then all that trouble in Germany with David Hay, and that became a big fight. And we did that fight, and we did big numbers on that. I bet you we've done more numbers on that than the DAZN fight's done at the moment in the UK on subscription. And we weren't charging £2 then, which I think are about £10 for the thing. And that did well, and we started building a base up with it. But it was tough. I mean, we invested a lot of money, and we lost a lot of money. I mean, we was losing money continually every year. I mean, and I compare it with DAZN. Obviously, DAZN's better funded than we were. I mean, at the time, I had a partner, Bill Ives, who's unfortunately passed away, owns Raynham Steel. They were one of the biggest steel stockholders in Europe. And we sunk a lot of money into the business. But, Sir Len Blavnik owns DAZN. Mm. And I mean, they've been posting losses of $1.5 billion a year, I think, for the last 2 years. So it's tough. It's not an easy job. They got a tough job, so they probably understand now how difficult it was. And I remember at the time, our opposition, Matrim, saying it could die. You know, nobody wants to watch boxing like that. And you've got to be with a big, big organisation. And he was very lucky that, what happened to him is that BT did come into being. Within a few months of me leaving, they come into being. And I think that really livened Sky up as far as thinking itself, we've got competition now. And they obviously got some football premiership. They wound up getting the Europa. They wound up getting the Champions League, BT. And they were terrified, I think, that they were going to start, getting stuck into the boxing. So they reinvested in boxing. Mm. So that I'd left. So he was lucky, whatever it was, 9 months, 10 or 12 months later, whatever it was, that they decided they'll dip their toe back in the water and start reinvesting it. So that was it. And BT, it took them, a couple of years, but then they, you know, they spoke to us immediately, but we had Box Nation undergoing. We had to make in the end a very commercial decision. I mean, between us, we invested nearly 30 million quid into the business.
So would you say it was mutual? Did you seek BT? Did they seek you? Was it a mutual kind of?
It was a mutual thing, really, you know, and it turned out to be a good thing for everybody concerned.
Okay, the next question from Everything Boxing. What is the most rewarding bit about being a promoter, Frank?
For me, the most rewarding thing is sitting there on the night when you've been involved getting a really great fight together, and all the shenanigans and all the crap that goes on leading up to it. You know, a lot of things the public don't, you know, they surmise they know, but they don't know half of the things that go on, and sometimes it can be quite boring, sometimes it can be quite annoying. But eventually, once you get it over the line and you're sitting there and you're watching it, and especially if it's a great fight, then it's, you know, that's very satisfying. And I've been very privileged, you know, since I've been in the business now, is it 43, 44 years now, to have been involved in some really spectacular fight nights. And I've enjoyed them over the years and met, you know, people I never dreamt to meet when I was living in Priory Green Estate, Council Flat in Islington, you know. So I've been blessed, I've been lucky, and every time I sit there and there's a big fight on, I do think to myself, you know, how lucky I am to probably have the best seat in the house.
Harry Lane has asked, what was his biggest setback in terms of boxing and how did he overcome that?
When I came into boxing, it was very difficult to start with because it was a closed shop. There was only one TV company brought, there was only two TV companies, BBC and ITV, and only one of them were broadcasting any fights. ITV were only buying overseas fights back then. They had no interest in the domestic market. So that, to me, was the biggest challenge, and that was my biggest challenge, and that's what I had to overcome. I was up against the system. The border control back then weren't very helpful, and the promoters, they were called the cartel back then. There was three promoters and a manager who controlled most of the talent and most of the venues back then. There was only a couple of venues in London, really, that you could promote on a regular basis, and they had exclusives on them. And it was very difficult, and that for me was my biggest challenge. Because if I had to come through that, I wouldn't be doing it.
Okay, Andrew's asked, since he's been a promoter, what does he think is the best event or show he's ever put on in terms of card quality, and how did it do in terms of numbers and money generated?
It's funny, it's different eras, different decades. Mm. You know, I mean, immediately you think to what generates a lot of money was the first pay-per-view, which we did on Sky, which was Frank Bruno defending his title in Vegas against Mike Tyson. That was a big fight. It was a big fight in America. You know, it was a big fight in America. He'd done big numbers on pay-per-view there with Don King and myself. That was a massive show. Lots for different reasons. You know, early days, you'd get big ratings. But, you know, it was a flat fee you was working on. There was no pay-per-view. You'd be on terrestrial TV, but you'd get massive audiences. You could get, you know, anything between sort of, for a big fight, anything from 10 to 20 million people would watch it back then. Now, it's, you know, the big fights are determined by pay-per-view. And there's been a few over the years that have done extremely big business. We've had big gates over the year. I mean, Kawasaki and Kessler. At the time, that was with the roof on in Cardiff in winter. That was the biggest indoor event at that time. It was classed as an indoor event. There was 54,000 in there back then. There's been loads of them over the years, you know, lots of them. It's been, and it's also depended on the size of the venues, because, you know, when I say back then, the venues were smaller. Mm. I mean, the Albert always the size it is, but Wembley at those days only held 9,000 people, you know, indoors.
Yeah. All right. James Jones has asked a question you might have to think about a little bit. What is your top five all-time fights you've promoted?
Oh, boy. look, off the top of my head, not wanting to insult anybody, and in no specific order, and fights that I've promoted or been joint promoter in, I would think Bruno beating McCourt Wembley. He'd been to the well three times. He was with the other promoters, and then he came with me, and everybody thought it was, you know, he was washed up, it was all over. We got him into a good position, fought and won the world title there. That was brilliant. That was a good night. Naz, he had some spectacular nights, Naz, but the one I really enjoyed was when we went to the States, Madison Square Gardens. You know, no Brit had ever put a show on there, a boxing show on there before. We were told it was going to fall on its arse. It was, I think it was about 6 or 7 days before Christmas. They said it's a bad time to do it. I remember Bob Arum saying, you do your brains there. And it was the highest grossing featherweight fight back then that had ever taken place at the Garden. And it was a tremendous fight. I mean, a really exciting fight. That was a good night. Ricky beaten Costa Zoo, which was I enjoyed that. Tyson, you know, both those fights, I call them one fight, both the fights against Wilder, because he'd done such a brilliant performance and done the business. They both of those were great fights. God, I'm terrible, a great fight, but terrible and tragic consequences. McClellan Ben, for all the obvious reasons that are well documented. There's been a load of them over the years, a lot of fights, you know, just really good quality fights that I've been involved with. I enjoyed all of them. I mean, I still do, you know, when, over the last few years as well, I thought when Billy Joe Saunders and Eubanks, I thought that was a very competitive and a good fight for different reasons for me, you know. It was on the undercard of Tyson and Chisora, and I fancied Chisora to beat Tyson that night, and the place was, you know, quite busy. But that was a good fight. Steve Collins in Cork against Chris Eubanks when he beat him. There's been a lot of them, and it's very difficult to sort of pin one down. I've been, you know, as I mentioned earlier in an earlier question, I've been blessed and been lucky to be involved in a lot of good fights and continue to be involved in them.
Just to add to that, I know it's not a question from here, but you were talking about venues, etc. there. Have you ever, or would it be a regret if you retired and didn't promote a fight at Arsenal?
Oh, absolutely. I'm determined to do that. I'm determined. In fact, we were there yesterday with Joe Joyce. He's fighting on Saturday. He's got a tough fight. Hopefully he'll come through. And I'd like to see him get it on there next year.
Yeah?
He's an Arsenal fan. Okay. World title, maybe a rematch with Daniel Dubois, or he wins a world title, or both of them. You know, Daniel's now an interim champion. They win some form of world, they win a world title, whatever they get. What a big place that would be. That would be a monster, wouldn't it, down the road.
Do you think Joe in the right fight could do 50,000-60,000 there?
I think the right fight, yeah. I mean, you know, you look at it and people think, you know, it's about promotion, isn't it, at the end of the day? I mean, unfortunately, we've been in unique circumstances the last year, so we've not been able to promote how we would like to do the things we'd like to do, especially with a live audience, which helps to make an event more, more colourful, and obviously gives it more atmosphere. But yeah, I know we can build them into a big fight happening there, and we will do it. We will do it.
Right, I need to stop helping myself asking my own questions. Back to the fans. More Memes has asked, what is one aspect of the 90s era of boxing promotions that you wish still existed?
The 90s?
Yeah.
Handshake deals. You know, people's words were their bond.
Does that still exist at all right now or not?
Not as much as it did, that's for sure. I mean, there's an old adage, you know, handshake's not worth the paper it's written on these days. That's how it seems it turns out. But no, look, every era is different. Everything's, I mean, when you're living in the moment at that time, where it's the, you know, 70s, 80s, all the way through, wherever you're in, you're dealing with that environment, that business environment. That's what you're working in. You know, how people watch the sport. You know, as I mentioned earlier on, it was just on one channel, and it became on two channels. Now it's on lots of channels. It's all changed. They can watch it, stream it, watch it all sorts of different ways. Yeah. You know, if you wanted to watch a big fight from the States, you had to go to the cinema at 5 o'clock in the morning, pay 20, 25 quid. A lot of money back then to watch a fight, you know, Leicester Square, Odeon and things like that. Now it's pay-per-view, it's delivered to your home. Various different ways. So you just adapt to the particular time and era that you're in. And a great exponent of that has been Bob Arum. You know, he's the one person who's older than me in the sport. And, you know, look what he's done over the years. He's been very innovative and worked very hard all the way through, and he's still at the top of his game.
Mm.
So it's just, you know, it's dealing with the environment and you're in, more importantly, trying to form and establish good relationships within the business with people you're working with.
Okay, this question is from Boxeo Logic. How do you assess the progress of the remaining fighters from the original BT deal photo, and why do you feel like you were unable to keep many of the premier boxers included in that deal? So we'll go through.
I haven't got the photo. Who's in the photo?
we'll go one by one. So yeah. Let's start with Daniel Dubois, his progress from that photo.
Well, he got involved he did really well, got involved in one of the biggest domestic heavyweight fights in years. In a very good fight up until the end of it. And he's since come back and he's now the WBA interim champion. So he's still a young man and he's in a good position to challenge for the full title and will do. So, you know, a blip, glitch, whatever you want to call it, but it's up to him. He's back in the up and running now and come back and got himself into a good position. So I'm pleased where he's at this moment in time.
And I think it's fair to say when that photo was taken, he certainly wasn't a marquee name in boxing. But now he certainly is.
He only had 11... Was it no 7 senior bouts as an amateur? No one knew him. We'd done a great job with him. So what do I think? I think we've done a great job. Everyone knows who he is, and he was involved in the last year. Him and Joe Joyce were involved in the highest rated subscription TV show, a boxing show.
Yeah.
You know, done between the two channels or all the channels that show any boxing on subscription. It was the highest rated show.
Jack Gattrell.
Jack's number one. He's number one. We've done a great job of him to keep him in that number one position. He's the mandatory. I'm delighted where he's at, and he's obviously going to fight Josh Taylor next.
Anthony Yard
went and fought for a world title. We've done a great job. Again, somebody who only had 11 bouts. As an amateur, 11 or 12 bouts. No one knew who he was. We've done a great job in promoting him. And it got to a stage where we got to Russia, and he was, 10 seconds away before becoming the world champion? 5 seconds away. But you know what, Umar? That's boxing. You know, nothing's guaranteed, but he got to fight for a world title. And he's unfortunately, he was supposed to be fighting on Saturday, but there's been a problem with opponents. But now he'll fight very soon. We'll get a new date for him. And then him and Lyndon will get it on again, which is a good fight. So I'm pleased where he is. Shame Lyndon weren't in the photograph, but I'm pleased where he is now, and he's making his way back.
Billy Joe Saunders.
Well, Billy, when he had that photo, was he world champion at that time? I don't think
he must have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he came as world champion, well documented all the problems that he had. We got him out to the States, into Canada. He had that great win in Canada. Then had the problems with the failing of the drug test and all the nonsense that went on with that. So unfortunately, beyond my control, he was stripped of his, or he vacated his title. But we done a great job in getting him back and getting a title at a different weight. He went up a weight, won a world title. And it got to a stage where I was not very happy in as much hard work we was doing. We weren't being able to maximise on that because he was either getting injured, pulling out of fights in between. So we had a good out the heart and decided to go our separate ways, and I wished him well. He's a friend now, and he went on, and I think it took him about 18, 20 months or whatever it was to get his shot with Canelo. And we all know what happened in that fight. But he'd have got the fight with Canelo anyway if he'd have stayed, if we'd have stayed together. So he left when he left, how do I feel about that? It was mutual. It was mutual. And if you asked him the question, he'd tell you the same. It wasn't I want to go or piss off. It was like the Pofa sat down and I felt I'd done as much as I wanted to do, which was getting back in after all the problems that went on behind the scenes, the well-documented problems.
Tyson Fury.
Carry on. Number one heavyweight in the world. Well, everybody said he won't do it. He's, what is he? That's came in, again, well documented, 11 stone overweight, got him in a position to fight for the world title. Robbed the first time, fought and won it, subsequently won it in absolute style, one of the best overseas performances of a British fighter, heavyweight, whatever way you want to look at it, and not a bad job.
Same again on July 24th?
Yep.
Okay, Josh Warrington.
Josh came to us having been told, and it was said publicly, he wasn't an attraction, doesn't do any business. I mean, they're not my words, they were the words of from Matchroom. And we delivered him his dream. We built him up. He got good, made good fights for him, got him a world title fight. Leeds football ground, something he always wanted. Delivered it to him, won the world title. Our contract expired. The grass was greener, and the rest is history. He's no longer world champion. When I had a match, which I don't want to get into it, you know, it's unfortunate what happened to him. He is where he is. He obviously, I don't know if he feels comfortable with what happened. That's up to, you know, but, you know, that's yesterday's news. But I delivered for him, big time.
Liam Smith.
Liam won the world title with me, as you know. Again, do you know, I really regret with Liam, because I like Liam and I had a really good, you know, got on well together, and I had a lot of respect for Liam, a lot of respect. He had those couple of good fights with Liam Williams, and he felt the grass was greener, and I didn't want to stand in his way. I look at it at the end of the day, I think, you know, what is it going to cost me to get him to where he needs to be? You know, what fights I've got to do? You know, I can remember he. You know, where is that? How am I going to make this work? Because he fought Canelo. Weren't bad, was it? We got him a fight with Canelo. He had a big payday for that. Probably his biggest payday. And cut a long story short, I wish now that we hadn't fight, because I could have got him back in the position to fight for a world title again. I know I could have. But, you know, you better ask him what's happened with his career now. It's, you know, I don't think anything significant happened since.
Okay, moving on from that question, Matt Pullen.
But what about the fight? You've got to think about where we are as well with fighters. It's, you know, it's a moving feast with boxers. You know, boxers come and go. Yeah, you know, at the moment, I think we've got about, who we got? We've got, mentioned Jack earlier, Ponce.
Yeah.
Both number one mandatory challengers for the various organisations to Josh Taylor. We've got Daniel Dubois, as I mentioned, interim champion. We've got Zach Parker, WBO number one. He's the mandatory challenger to Canelo. So he's in a great position there. Joe Joyce, he's now the mandatory. Mm. So, you know, I look at that and I think to myself, you know, that's how it is. They're all in a mandatory position. Obviously Tyson's there, Sonny Edwards. And we've got a wealth, as you know, of great young talent that's breaking through it. And, you know, I think over the next year or so, we're going to see some real, you know, some of these youngsters come through and really going to do some good business.
Mm. Yeah, people like Hamza Shiraz and Dennis McCann, we haven't even mentioned. Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, it's a roster of those. Yeah. And we've done a real good job bringing them through.
All right, this is from
Cole Matt. Frampton came on board.
Oh, remember? He was in that photo, that's
right,
I forgot that.
Yeah, Cole, I just thought about Cole come through. Cole was the, he became interim champion, didn't he? And then went on to have a, you know, have his title fight. So, you know, we've done a good job for our guys. And then, obviously, Cole retired.
And obviously that massive night at Windsor Park as well for him.
It delivered him his dream. That's where he wanted to fight. We delivered him his dream.
Okay, this is from Matt Pullen. If you could make a Super Six style heavyweight tournament, but had to have three fighters that you used to promote at heavyweight and three of your current heavyweights, who would they be and who would come out on top?
Three who used to be with us.
Yeah, and three current. So I think your three current are pretty obvious in Tyson, Joe and Daniel. Am I right?
Well, the other three, I'm not saying who I used to promote, but you'd like to see AJ in there.
No, this is only fighters have been under your banner.
Oh, under that. All right, under my banner.
So your three current ones, I think Tyson, Daniel and Joe are the obvious ones.
Bruno.
And then your three ex ones, Frank.
Bruno. I'll put Chisora in, because right. You know you're going to get a fight.
Yeah.
It'd make out the numbers. And Herbie Hyde.
Okay.
Won a world title with me.
So you've got Herbie Hyde, Frank Bruno, Derek Chisora, Tyson Fury, Daniel Dubois and Joe Joyce. Matt's asked, who comes out on top?
At this stage?
If those guys that you mentioned were at their peak of their careers.
I think a couple of them are not at their peak. You know, you can't say Dubois and Joe Joyce are at their peak yet. But, as it stands now, the one who's the best out of them at the moment is Tyson. I think Tyson's the best heavyweight of his generation.
Where do you compare him to Lennox Lewis?
I think Lennox and him would be a really, really interesting, exciting fight. And I think Tyson at his best. And I don't think we've seen Tyson at his best.
That's really quite scary, that, isn't it?
Well, because when he came back, you think about the weight he was carrying and so forth. You haven't seen him at his best, but then Lennox was in some tremendous fights. But I think at their prime, I would edge with Tyson.
Okay. All right. Next question. Where are we? Okay. From Reese. What's his thoughts on purses being public knowledge? Does he think more transparency on what fighters getting paid would help the sport?
I don't know, really. I don't understand, how would it help the sport by people knowing how much they get paid? You know, and also, you know, boxers don't want to know how much they're getting paid. You know, do you want your salary published? This is not the BBC. We're not paid for by taxpayers' money. You know, we finance the shows. But that's up to the boxer. I have no problem if a boxer would say, this is how much I've earned. Mm. That's up to him. That's his prerogative. But, you know, all these deals that we do, the norm is they don't want it to be, they don't want what they're getting paid to be made public. And I've got to be honest, I don't think I want to be making it public how much I'm paying people.
Mm. Yeah, that's a fair comment. How much, insider knowledge do you get about what other fighters are getting paid from sort of top rank, Golden Boy, Matrim? How much information you get that?
And everyone also knows in the business, you know, the generally what it is. But you've got to remember, at the top level, boxers get paid according to what the pay-per-view generates. 95% of the time. Because that is the true indication of how much a boxer's worth, his value is. Because the public are buying tickets and the public are paying to watch it on pay-per-view. So if it does well, they'll do well. The public don't buy it, and obviously they weren't interested by the fight. And that determines their true value. And that's why, you know, you think that Floyd Mayweather, you know, how astute he is, he's probably the best, not as a fighter, but probably the best promoter of the last 15 years or so, with what he's done with himself and how he's promoted himself. And how astute he's been in picking opponents and so forth, he's fought, and how much money he's earned. So, and that's all down to his work. And remember, he's a fighter who never had any endorsements, you know, because of some of the things that he said in the past and things that he did. He wasn't somebody who was carrying on, you know, all the different brands were attaching their names to him. So Forbes magazine about 5 or 6 times as the highest paid athlete. So his true worth is what the public will pay to see him.
All right, this is from UK Boxing 11. You never ask about departures, Umar, so ask Frank, as you never did, in brackets, about, firstly, we'll go with Lerone Richards, about his departure.
Well, that's a saucy question. His departure? Well, his departure, it wasn't he left. We wanted him to fight Willie Hutchinson. The border control ordered it, and he didn't want to do it. So if that's, I look at that, at that time, I look at that and think, well, if you're not willing to take that fight, what fights are we going to make for you? What am I supposed to do then? Well, you don't want to fight, you don't want to defend your title, which you've been ordered by the Boxing Board of Control at the time. You don't want to do that. So that's, that wasn't acceptable to me.
Okay, the next one he's asked about is Jack Massey.
Jack, again, we had a British title fight for him, but he wanted a fight in between. And I like Jack. Jack's a really good guy and I wish him well. But, sometimes you've got to just, from our perspective, we want to get on with the title fights.
And the last one he's asked about is Jordan Thompson.
Well, Jordan Thompson, I know his dad very well. I've known him for a long, long time. Really nice man. And he had some issues, which I don't want to go into. Disappeared for a while. At the end of the day, I think we just let the contract go. That was it. You know, look, you can't dip in and out of boxing. You've got to be committed. You've got to be, if you want to give that commitment, then great. But if there's no commitment at times and you're going on the missing, that's no value.
Stevens asked, if you could sign one fighter from Matchroom except the pay-per-view fighters in Joshua and White, who would it be and why? So one fighter.
Only one.
Yeah, but not Joshua White.
I think Mr. Buatsi, because we've got that roster of three light heavyweights.
It makes sense.
We can make some great fights there for the public want to see.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to love that. I mean, I like watching.
Okay. Right, next question. Okay, this is from Neil. In all the years of professionally promoting, what is your biggest regret in the profession?
My biggest regret is the which has happened on the very, very rare occasions of a death in the ring. That's when you sort of sit back and think, hang on a minute. They're the times when that I find troubling, and the health aspects of it. My biggest regret is there is not a worldwide medical council, and boxers such as Danny Williams, who I really, really like. Danny was a very brave fighter, beat Mike Tyson. But when he was advised to retire, he was able to go off and fight in different countries when he shouldn't be fighting. I mean, only as recently as 18 months ago or so. So that is a big regret for me. Regarding falling out with fighters, that happens to everybody in the sport. You know, it's no different than any other sport or life sometimes. That's how it is. The medical aspect to me is the thing that sometimes disappoints me and the things that happen behind the scenes.
I think you make a very good point there. Stephen, who I previously asked questions, asked another one. Which fighter does Frank feel we did the best job for as a promoter? And also on reflection, which does he feel or wish he could have done more for?
Blimey. Well, it's been, it's a very difficult question. It's a good question, but a difficult one to answer. And again, it's about times and eras and bringing people through, you know. I mean, I think I did a great job, for example, with Anthony Yard, for somebody who nobody knew. We built him up into be a big name. I mean, he was more well-known, fact, than Joshua Batsy, who went to the Olympics. He was the more recognisable fighter at one stage. And Batsy's done brilliantly now. But I done well for him, getting him into the world title shot and everything. As it was then. But I could look at people like, the Cattons, the Kawasakis. I could look at Josh Warrington, Tyson, Billy Joe Saunders. I mean, Bill was a lovely friend. That's hard work promoting Bill. That was like a challenge in itself. I'm lucky I've got any hair. Any hair I've got, I'm lucky I've still got it. You know, but that was a challenge. So it's all different. You know, Joe was hard work. Joe was a tremendous fighter. But there was a time where he was pulling out 50% of his fights for various reasons. And it was very frustrating. Like the Lacey fight, he pulled out twice before we got it on. And he was going to pull out 10 days before that if I hadn't spoken to him and had a long discussion with him. But that was it. Naz was a big disappointment. That was a big disappointment for me because he never fulfilled his true potential. And he was a great fighter at his best for me, at his very best. He was the best fighter that I promoted. At his best. Now, I know there's still a couple fighting now, so I'm talking about fighters who are no longer fighting. But at his best, he was a great fighter. And I've done a great job with Ricky. I mean, Ricky says it was the highlight of his life, his best night of his life, and I know it was. And I picked that match dead right at the right time for it.
And, yeah, anyone on reflection you felt like you could have done more for? Or is there not?
There's of course sometimes you make it, look, you make a decision, you think you've made the right decision, and anything, one punch can change the whole dynamic of a career or a fight. And I've been in that position, or fighters have been in that position I've been involved with. As you know, I've already mentioned Naz. There was a young fighter many years ago, two brothers from Reading, Yateley and Reading. One was called George Collins, an outstanding amateur. You know, I think got about 30 odd wins with me, and got, and I think it was Kirkland Lang at the time, I'm sure it was, but he got beat. But his brother was a phenomenal fighter, Tony, but he just had no discipline. He probably was a real disappointment, because he was probably one of the most talented fighters I'd seen at that stage, and just blew it all away. Bad living, no discipline, getting in trouble, so forth.
Okay, Brandon has asked, my question for Frank would be, after everything that's happened during his career, what will be the thing he misses the most when his time finally does come back, to step back, if he ever does step back from the sport?
I'll let you know when I step back. I'd say what it would be, trying to spend money on an anodyne.
Boxing's First has asked, has the birth of social media and fans having access to fighters 24/7 made promoting easier or harder?
It's a bit of both, really, because sometimes, you know, you get stuff on, things leak out, and sometimes they're true, sometimes they're untrue, and it causes problems to make fights. The other side of it, it's good to publicise fights.
M-Bun50 has asked, how difficult is it to explain to fighters that you will keep supporting them after a loss, and what is the process?
Well, Derek Chisora is a prime example. You know, he lost about 4 or 5 on the bounce, and every time he got a bigger fight. So I said, we'll get there one day. That was good. It's there. Look, we're in a position at the moment. We had it with Daniel Dubois. You know, I still believe in him, and he believes in himself, and he came back in good style right over that injury. And I can think back over the years, fighters who have been beaten but come out. Frank Bruno, as we spoke about earlier, he didn't lose with me, but I sat down and I said, I know you can do this. If we can get the fight in the UK, I can get the guy at the right time, we can do it. And he did against Oliver McCall, and McCall knocked out Lennox Lewis.
Last question, it's from Charlie Charlton. Try and answer this one as honest as you can, Frank. How long does Frank think he has left in the business?
Charlie. I don't know, mate. It depends, as long as I've got my enthusiasm.
Do you reckon you'll do what Bob's doing?
I don't know. I mean, I don't particularly want to be jumping it. I mean, he does. I don't do what Bob does now. You know, I don't want to be jumping on a plane every, you know, once or twice a week, flying all over the place. You know, I like to spend a bit of time at home. I like to see my grandkids now and so forth. So I spend a lot of time working. I still enjoy it. I enjoy the cut and thrust of it at times. There's other times I think I could do without this, but the bottom line of all of it is I'll do it as long as I want to do it and feel like I want to be doing it.
Do you not just feel like going to a beach or going to Spain and just living in the sunset? No?
That's what old people do.
Well, on that note,
what do I want to be going later? Like, what are you trying to get me? I've got go faster stripes on my Zimmer frame, mate. I can move. Don't worry about that still. As long as I can move, as long as this is still working, I'll keep plugging away. Now, listen, I love it. I love the sport more than anything. And at the moment, the enthusiasm I've got for this young talent we've got will keep me going for a long time yet, I hope.
Okay, on that note, Frank Warren, thank you very much for doing this Q&A.
Thank you.
And we'll speak to you soon. Obviously, fight week commences from tomorrow, so I'll speak to you tomorrow, all right?
You will do, young man. Thank Cheers. You. I enjoyed the questions. Very interesting. It's nice to know what the fans are thinking. Matt Pullen, we'll see you at Joe Joyce Tackham on the 24th. You've got 2 best tickets. Hope you enjoy the night.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.